Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. On this episode, I'm going to talk to Helen Farleander, founder and director at Watson and Wolf, Wolf with an E. And I'm just going to pull a short clip from the website here, which you can find, by the way, at watsonwolf.com. Our collections are made in a small boutique factory that has a long history of producing the highest quality accessories for luxury brands all over the world. Using the same traditional crafting techniques and construction, we are producing a superior product which is cruelty-free and sustainable. The world is changing, and consumers are too. By using superior quality materials from eco-conscious suppliers and fine craftsmanship, we hope to encourage more men to shop sustainably. So, that interview with Helen to come. Helen was a delight. She spoke very eloquently about her brand and introduced me to a lot of new things regarding certain toxic elements within the fashion industry and the possibility of having a cactus leather suit made. So, a lot of takeaways, and I think you'll enjoy this one. Before we get to Helen, don't forget to check out the show notes at menswearstyle.co.uk, and on the social, we are at menswearstyle. So hit us up. If the kids even say that anymore. And if you want to tell us about your brand, maybe you want to come on the show and tell us your journey, you can email us at info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay. So let's get to it. This is a good one, and I hope you enjoy it. Here is that interview with Helen Farleander, founder and director at Watson and Wolf. Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce Helen Farleander, founder and director of Watson and Wolf. How are you doing today, Helen?
I'm good, Peter. Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking time out. Helen, where is here for you?
Here at the moment, I'm in Spain with some family right now, but home is usually in the UK.
Okay, excellent. And perhaps you can just give us a bit of an introduction to who you are and brag a little or a lot about Watson and Wolf, please.
Yes. Well, about me, I started on a luxury leather goods journey for more than 10 years when I worked at Aspen of London. From there, I went I was pivotal there in growing the company from around naught to £10 million. After about 10 years, I wanted to do something a bit different. So I moved on and worked in home interiors and for a men's accessories brand as well. I then started a family, so I thought, well, now's time for a career break. So I had a little bit of a career break, and I came back with the idea that I wanted to do something of my own. Leather goods seemed like a really good place to start. It's something that I knew about. So I began to sort of cultivate ideas of what we would be, who we would be, and what we would use. I then caught up with a chap called Sanjay Patel, who I worked with, leading marketing agency More2, and he became our FD. He was actually the FD for Spice and Bond Street for a number of years. So collectively, we had quite a lot of experience in this sector. And Watson & Wolf began from there, really. It was going to be a luxury leather goods brand, and it was in around 6 or 7 months later after that initial conversation with Sanjay that I decided to put it all on its head and turn it around and become a non-leather goods brand.
Wow. And what did Sanjay have to say?
Yeah, it was one of those moments when you just sort of say, what about if we didn't do this? You know, what about if we just did it a bit differently? And then you'd sort of start talking about how that might look instead.
Well, what I really loved about spending some time on your website was all the information that you get on vegan leathers and other forms of leather. You're introducing a cactus leather in November, so we'll get onto that in a sec. But so much, it's a fountain of knowledge. I learned so much just being on the website. But perhaps you can fill us in a little bit on why the leather industry is causing the environment so much damage. What is it in particular about that?
It's actually not one thing, it's more a bunch of things. I think one of the things, as you quite rightly point out, when you come to our website, it's really not about, totally, it's not all about selling what we do. It's about, there's an element of education there, and it's about changing the perception of these materials that we're using, and not just to replace animal products. It's not just about being vegan. It's about addressing the environmental issues of materials we've been using up to this point. And leather being one of the most damaging for several reasons, that from the amount of toxic chemical waste from the tanning process, which is dumped into waterways and destroys ecosystems and land masses around those areas of the world. That water affects the human health of the people living in those areas as well. A tannery worker, his average life is about 54 years old, just because the health implications and the suffering that he will get from using, being in touch with all of those chemicals every day of his life are just so vastly impacting on him or her. And the animal suffering, Peter, I mean, you know, animals aren't, the animals used for the leather industry years ago would have been those as a byproduct of the meat industry. And that's correct. But these days, that's not the case. The sheer number of animals required to provide for the leather industry is just too big. It's too big. It's like 420 million animals or something by 2025. I mean, that can't be supplied just by the meat industry. So there's lots of other animals being used to subsidize that, and animals being trafficked from one country to another because it's illegal to kill them in one country but not the other. And it's the way in which they're transported, which isn't necessarily right either, or ethical. So it's, you know, and let's not forget that we're using animals also that are one of the primary contributors to climate change, you know, cows. So, you know, if we want more leather, do we have more cows to produce that leather? It's kind of, we have to sort of change our thinking about things like we are everything else, really, when it comes to climate.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps one of the misconceptions, is that people just think it's maybe one thing, like, oh, well, we shouldn't just be killing cows for the sake of having accessories and clothes. But it's a multi-pronged attack on the climate, isn't it? I mean, just again, going through your website, I learned so much about how I knew that the fashion industry was the second biggest polluter in the world, because my girlfriend works in the oil industry. So I like to think that between us, we've got the one and two covered, the top spots.
Yes.
But with the fashion industry being like the second biggest polluter in the world, it's mainly because of the toxics that are found in these garments, and especially within leather, like you were saying, with the tannery process, that aren't biodegradable. So they can't diminish anywhere. They're just literally being dumped upon landfill. We're sending it all around the world to different countries who are now sending it all back, saying, we don't want your rubbish anymore. Anyway, like you say, it's a huge perpetual cycle of crap, for want of a better word.
You know, it is. And, you know, one of the things we talk about on our website, and certainly in the blog information, the posts that we send out to people, is that, you know, that these new materials are all about reducing many things. They're about reducing the amount of chemicals that we use. So many of these new materials have little or no chemicals in them at all, which means when they're put into landfill, they break down probably the same as leather, because leather's designed never to break down. But they don't leach chemicals when they're breaking down, many of them. So whereas animal leather will leach chemicals all the whilst it's breaking down. In the manufacture of these materials, with many of the companies innovating these, want to use less water. So less water means less natural resources. They want to use an organic material. If we come onto things like pineapple or wine leather or cactus leather, any of those materials, they are all using an organic base material. The one we use is corn. It uses corn oil as a basis of the material, which is renewable, which is actually carbon neutral because it absorbs as much carbon as it then lets out when it's cut down or used. So it's environmental. And we're a small company, so we market to a very finite audience at the moment, which is the vegan audience. So we don't have enormous marketing budgets. But actually, our products for anybody who wants to lower their environmental impact, because these materials are designed to do exactly that. Lower the impact to make the wallet, lower the impact to make the cardholder. So it's not just about animal rights, animal welfare. It's about a whole bunch of different things too.
Yeah, fascinating. I fell in love with your cork belts, by the way, when I was on the website.
They're new. They're rather good.
They're fantastic. Well. Yeah, I've never seen them before. I hear a lot of different things with belts, how they make, like driving seat belts are now belts that you can wear around, or tarpaulin truck mats, and you can now fashion that into a belt. So cork belts, that's new on me. I don't know if I'm late to the game. But
cork's been used for a long time, Peter.
It probably has.
Yeah, but it's fine if it's new for you.
I thought they looked fantastic. And I noticed also that you won an award in 2019 for the Peter's Best Men's Accessory Brand of the Year. That must have been a wonderful accolade for you.
Yeah, well, we were only trading for a year at that point. So to be recognized that early on was really, really special. Yeah, really pleased with that.
Yeah, so you're the real deal over there. I must ask you about cactus leather.
Yeah.
So
it's kicking up quite a storm, cactus leather, isn't it?
So for people that have no idea, I went on the website and I found a really helpful video that showed the two pioneers putting this together and, you know, doing the patent. But perhaps it will come better from your mouth if you can tell us about the range and what cactus leather is, please.
Well, this is a prime example of what we were just talking about when we're talking about innovators of these materials wanting to make change. So the two founders of Deserto who make cactus leather, one of them was from the fashion industry and one of them was from the automotive industry, both who use leather, both who recognised that the damaging pollution of the product was unsustainable and wanted to find a solution. They live in Mexico. One of the things that's abundant in Mexico is cactus. It uses very little water to grow, so it's incredibly sustainable and renewable. And in fact, it's a bit like cork, which is obviously from a tree, which is left intact. Cactus plants are the same thing. So the whole cactus plant is left intact and they just take the new leaves. And within a few months, it's grown new leaves again. And all the while using very little water. The cactus material itself is actually made with no toxic chemicals whatsoever. It's completely chemical free, which is, if you think about it, quite incredible. And so we want to be pioneers of these new materials. So cactus was definitely on our radar since I heard about it. With all new materials, there's obviously hiccups with production, you know, how you want to use it, how it can be used, what's possible, what the limitations are. And we're all learning that all the time. So we've got a small range of cactus items made with cactus coming out, which we hope will be the end of November. But because of COVID-19, that's also impacted some of our supply chain this year. And so that may well be pushed back a bit. But it is coming and we're really, really excited about it.
And well, I guess people can tune into the website Watson and Wolf and sign up to the newsletter and we'll get to hear about it when it
does. Yeah, follow us on social media. We talk about innovations and what's coming up and new items of stuff all the time. So yeah, definitely follow us.
And that's Watson and Wolf with an E on Instagram for anyone tuning in. How far are we away from having a cactus suit, Helen?
Oh, how far are we away? Maybe 6 to 8 weeks. Something like that.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. I just want to, the next party that I'm allowed to go to or whatever press event it will be, I want to be wearing a cactus suit and I want people to ask and then I want everyone
to... A cactus suit. Oh my gosh, Peter, cactus suit. Wow. Well, you know, there's a cactus boxing glove already that they've made for the first ever cactus leather boxing glove, which is the first boxing glove ever to be made outside of animal leather, which is pretty pioneering. Yeah, that's just happened. So these guys have got really great ambitions at Deserto. So I've no doubt that in even 12 months' time, the landscape of where this material will be used is, you know, be limitless, really.
I just really loved that video because it was two guys on a journey. And then after you see, like, it's one thing that you can't mentally transpose from one to the other. So you see the cactus plant and then it all goes into pulp. I kind of get that. I like seeing things going to pulp oddly.
And it's then quite therapeutic, isn't it?
It is. I've got a blender. I make all my smoothies for my girlfriend in the morning. I actually quite like it. And all the stuff that might be on the turn, you know, a bit of fruit and all that sort of stuff.
Waste free. It's got to be waste free, Peter. That's good you're using up all that stuff.
It's all in there. And then, you know, cut smash, you see it all being made into pulp, and then all of a sudden they're reeling it out on rolls and you can see all this leather and you think, now that is beyond science. And that's something magical in my mind.
It's clever. And actually, you know, to my mind, having come from the leather goods industry, where we seem to have covered it with a word luxury, many things that are wrong, like pollution, like animal suffering, like human health problems, we seem to wrap that up and call it luxury, you know, somehow over generations that's happened. When actually luxury really, if I'm, you know, to my mind, should be something that's innovative and clever and that has the least impact on our environment. That's the product that should have the highest price point. Not this other way around. So somehow it's all got mixed up over the last generations. But I think now, because we're all thinking about sustainability a lot more, and we're all thinking about less, using less natural resources and how we can use up waste plastic bottles and all of those sorts of things, I think these are the sort of questions that we need to start asking ourselves when we're making purchases. As a conscious consumer, do I want to contribute to that? Even though inherently I'm led to believe that's a luxury product, or do I say, no, I'm going to buy this product, which I believe also has the same standard of craftsmanship, but uses these materials, which are far more future-proof for our planet, that are much safer and healthier for our planet.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And so, congratulations, not that you need it from me, but I thought all the products looked really, really good. And I don't know if I'm supposed to notice the difference between vegan leathers to real leathers. I mean, I don't know if there's any kind of discernible trait that I've missed, but they all look really, really fantastic, as does the website as well. Perhaps you can talk about what it's like to being like the founder and a director of a company, what a day in the life is like for you. We spoke off air about how I was just on the website and then Helen pops up on a chat and I'm like, well, I wonder if that's the Helen. And and you're like, it is me.
Most of the days you can find me in front of my laptop. I think that's the same for most founders, but working and planning the next thing. The day in the life is pretty much, yeah, if anyone is on the live chat, I'm always there to answer their questions, because it's me. I'm generally there till quite late as well, so we get lots of international inquiries quite late in the day, so I'm generally on hand to answer those questions. And we're very much about transparency, as you probably guessed from the website as well. So any questions, I'm really open about where we manufacture, what we do, how we do it. And so my role really is about liaising with our customer services person, growing wholesale. We've got a whole wholesale person now working on growing our wholesale business. It's about planning and executing the marketing campaigns. It's about liaising with designer factories and sourcing materials. So it's pretty much ground zero upwards is what I tend to kind of fit into my day every day.
And how hard is it for you to delegate? I imagine, because this is pretty much your baby, you saw it from the start, you know, everything you see is yours. To even bestow upon someone else to do some, I don't know, imagery or, you know, functional things for the websites or add-on designs, I guess that's quite an investment of your trust.
Yeah, it is. And I think that comes with time. I mean, we're at the point now where we're starting to, we have had no choice really, but to start finding key people to take over certain aspects, like, you know, email marketing or, you know, social media help, or, you know, just other aspects, you know, especially where the website is concerned, because obviously that's our key driver. And so for us to grow online is paramount. And obviously, as much as it's great to have, you know, presence on the high right now in this climate, that's not the best possible place for us to be, even though we love to have stockists. And we are working actually mostly in that area with small independent stores, because they tend to be in these little areas of the country where there's little tiny like shopping hubs, really. If you take somewhere like Rye or Leigh-on-Sea or Suffolk or Norfolk, you know, they've got these little areas, little pockets of local shops with independents in them. And it's kind of those independent stores that we're trying to support with newness and with, you know, with our innovative products. And they seem to be doing really well in those sorts of local shopping areas. So we're really pleased about that as well. But yeah, day to day is busy, Peter, busy.
Well, especially running families and out in
as
well, so
exactly.
A slightly different clock. So maybe we can just talk a bit about how the pandemic and how COVID, I mean, this is kind of on the back of Brexit and all these like sweet 1-2s that we've been getting recently. Just walk me through a couple of the headaches and obstacles and maybe some of the things that you've had to do to adapt to the current climate.
There's lots of things. The first thing I thought about was when just shortly after the pandemic hit, we did see declines in sales. And I think everybody probably saw that too, as everybody sort of took a deep breath and thought, goodness me, what's going to happen? And our response to that was to really look at how we could operate better. So it wasn't about switching everything off and stopping and waiting for things to calm down. It was about looking at the areas where we could improve our customer journey. So things like we installed ClearPay on the website, so people have the option to pay in 4 installments rather than in 1 payment. So even a cardholder in 4 payments, which is like £3 every fortnight or something like that. So you can still buy something nice for yourself, but it's just not coming out of your bank account straight away. And we also looked at gift vouchers. So rather than gifting a £50 wallet or a £40 card holder or whatever, we did vouchers. So people can buy a £5 voucher or a £10 voucher that gets emailed to their recipient with a message. And it's about looking at those token ways that we can still access, people can still access what we do. And obviously our response to COVID is also just, it's reinforcing that we need to be making sure that all of our materials and all of our processes are as animal free as possible, really, you know, that we have got less reliance on our resources and that we are being as compassionate as we possibly can in everything that we do, really.
Great. Well, I mean, I can't imagine what it's, I'm from the retail industry. I had my own independent shop just outside of Cambridge a few years back. And I only mentioned that at least 2 to 3 times per episode. So I've, listeners to this podcast will be well aware of the shop by now. But I can't imagine what it would be like if I still had that shop, dealing with, you know, supply chains being behind and, you know, all the kind of headaches that are layered on top of being an independent. Do you know what I mean? It's not the most easiest thing in the world to do, especially when you're up against such juggernauts in the industry and creating awareness online. I remember when my shop had the main road was closed in the village, so we were kind of out in the tracks there. You mentioned like these kind of parochial little places like Norfolk,
yeah,
right out in farmers country, and the council had shut the main road off, which was like the bloodline to our village and our shopping center, and so we had no traffic coming to the town for about 6 months. And I thought, well, there you go. There's nothing that you can do to kind of anticipate this. You just get blindsided by so much within the trade. But I think it's just for the love of the game that we keep punching through and overcoming them, right?
You do, and I think as much as you get kicked back, I think, you know, we are always encouraged by reviews from our customers that what we're doing is the right thing. And, you know, as I said before, you know, we've been impacted a little bit by COVID-19 on our new collections. And, you know, it was like Italy was really impacted, and we get a lot of our materials from Italy, for example. And one of the major materials we use, we couldn't get because the company had gone down and the company that bought them was not going to keep making that material. So coming out of in pandemic, we're looking around for new materials from companies that aren't open, or, you know, because our supply chain, the fundamental part of our supply chain is broken. So I'm sure there are lots of companies just like us that had all those same experiences. And it just means that, you know, as much planning as you can possibly do for the last quarter of the year, which when you're a gifting company is so important, that you kind of just got to go with the ups and downs and say, okay, well, you know what, we're not going to have everything when we thought we were going to have it, and that's fine. But hopefully everyone will still love it. And hopefully it won't be too late that it, you know, impacts our last quarter, but we're like little ducks at the moment with legs going really quickly.
Well, listen, I think the brand looks terrific. I'm really excited to see what you'll do. I mean, you're just getting started, right? But you've done so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And for any women listening or whatever, we are launching Women imminently. That will be here before Christmas as well.
Well, again, my girlfriend was having a look through the website with me, and she was going, let me know when you're doing the bag. So
yeah, we were asked, like, almost the first exhibition we ever did, where we had a stand at VegFest in London, we had women going, do you do women's? Were you going to do women's? And we're similar, well, we've got so much to do for men already that we kind of want to, that's a gap. There's nobody doing what we're doing for men. So we kind of want the men were all good first before we started doing anything else. So.
On behalf of every man, thank you. So yeah, I really encourage people to check out the website. It's Watson Wolf, wolfwithane.com is the place you can go. And not only just find some wonderful products, but some great information on what we're doing to impact the climate, vegan smoothie recipes, how to, yes, to not waste a thing over Christmas. By the way, you've completely reshaped what my Christmas is going to be like. So thanks for that. And everything in between. So Helen, thank you so much for taking time out.
Pleasure, Peter.
And hasta luego.
Adios.
Adios.
Well, how about that? And I didn't even get to talk about the film The Grey, the ultimate film about wolves. I'll have to get her back on and we'll do another hour on The Grey. So anyway, make sure you're supporting the good guys and girls and head over to watsonwolf.com. That's watsonwolf with an e.com, and treat yourself or a loved one and keep an eye out for those cactus leather goods coming soon. In the meantime, thank you for tuning in. If you like what you're hearing, don't forget to leave us a review. It does help our egos, mainly mine. And until next time.